A preacher's challenge is often to find illustrations or pictures or stories to go along with what we are trying to say. But James here presents me with no such problems, as this passage is bursting with illustrations and comparisons. Does anyone know who this lady is? In 1995, this relatively small woman, in a sailing boat, travelled the world's oceans and became the first woman to circumnavigate the globe single-handed. But you know, there was something vitally important to Ellen. It was probably a lot shorter than her. In fact, only a few feet long. And that was the rudder of her yacht. It was this little rudder that set the course of her boat. And similarly in the Bible, James compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship in the passage that we're studying today. The tongue is so small, but it has a huge impact on our lives and other people's lives. Well, I've moved up the road a bit to Levington just to get out of the wind there at Felixstowe. It's just a little bit too strong. So let's read then from James chapter 3 and verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Well, we're going to go over to Di and the musicians as they lead us at the start of our service in worship to God.
Before we sing, we're going to mention again the notice that we gave out last week, in order that as many people as possible have the opportunity to get involved and join in. After that, on this second Sunday in Advent, we're delighted that Arthur will lead our thoughts as we share in the lighting of our Advent candle. As we said last week, when we started our online services back at the end of March, we didn't think for one moment that we'd still be needing to have them at this stage, but here we are. We haven't been able to see each other or share news with each other in the same way, but we know that God has still been working in our lives. Yes, it's been a difficult year, horrible even for some, but God has been there with us, and this is why we need your help. For our service on the 27th of December, we want to hear about and share how you have felt God's presence this year. It may be just a really short anecdote. It may be a slightly longer testimony. Has God answered a particular prayer for you this year? Has he shown himself to you in a new way? Has he blessed you this year? Has he surprised you in some way? Has lockdown actually given opportunities for God to speak to you or bless you in a different way? We want to celebrate the fact that despite all the upheaval and difficulties this year, good things have happened too. This will be the final call to get involved in order that we have enough time to put everything together. So I'd love to hear from you and we can then sort out the practical bits, so that your story, anecdote or testimony can bless the whole fellowship in our final service of 2020. As we say thank you to our great God who has been with us every step of the way this year. Arthur, over to you.
Today we relight the candle of hope. Then we light the candle for the second Sunday in Advent. This is the candle of peace. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we remember that Jesus is our hope and our peace. From the prophet Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." From the Gospel of John. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Peace is like a shining light in a dark place. As we look at these candles, we celebrate the hope and the peace we find in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, grant that we may find peace as we prepare for our Lord's birth. May divisions in ourselves and in our families be peacefully resolved. May there be peace in our cities and in the countries of our world. Help us to see the paths of peace in our lives and then give us the courage to follow them. Lord, let us remember that you only are the giver of lasting peace and that you're always with us. Amen.
Thanks, Arthur. It's starting to feel a little more Christmassy now that we're in December. We think about the hope and the peace we find in Jesus as we sing our first song. You were the Word at the beginning. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. The beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, Christ. What a beautiful
before Ian brings us God's word today, we're seeing our first proper Christmas carol. You will understand, I'm sure, that we will be having a limited number of carols this year, as the online songs take so much time to produce. So each carol has been chosen carefully, and we'll have the opportunity to sing it more than once over this Advent and festive season. This first one is a favourite with many of you, and reminds us that even if we don't have much to give, we can choose to give our heart to God. In the bleak midwinter.
Someone once described the tongue as a fleshy, muscular, movable mouth organ. Of course, the tongue has a number of functions. We use it to taste. We use it in the act of swallowing. But we also use it in the capacity that we're thinking about it this morning to form letters and words. And these, of course, have deep impact on other people when we use the tongue as an instrument of speech. I'm sure we can all recall a time, if not many, when our tongue got us into trouble. when we said something that we later regretted. James has already given us some advice in chapter 1 and verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Two ears, one mouth. But sadly, we don't always have this tongue under control. Perhaps with a tongue, we betrayed a confidence. Perhaps we said something highly critical that greatly hurt somebody else. Or maybe we overreacted to provocation, or we gave someone a mouthful of our tongue, of our thoughts on how they behaved in a particular situation. Oh, the dangerous tongue. With it, we can ruin someone's reputation or even break somebody's heart. But let's give some balance here, because the tongue also has a massive potential for good. With it, we can encourage other people. We can teach truth about God. We can pray to God, and we can sing the praise of God, if only in our own homes at the moment. With the tongue, we can bring healing and harmony. Someone else once wrote, "The Christian should learn two things about the tongue: how to hold it and how to use it." And that's what we're endeavouring to think about this morning. James begins with a challenge to teachers of God's word. So I'd better listen up. He then goes on to give a whole series of illustrations on the power of the tongue. So before we get into those illustrations, a word first to teachers of God's word. Verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." It appears that in the time that James wrote, that many aspired to be teachers or spiritual leaders in the early church. Perhaps they wanted to be well thought of, or they saw it as a privilege to have esteem, to have a social rank, if you like. Perhaps they had a lot to say and simply wanted to be heard. But James warns them and us, if we're in ministry, that it's not something to be taken lightly, either then or now. There is both tremendous responsibility and accountability connected with spiritual leadership. Sadly, today there are people who are entering into Christian ministry who kind of see it as a career, when actually it is a calling of God. There are people who may even stand in the pulpit who don't actually have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Those who teach, James says, must realize that whatever they say is going to have an effect on their hearers, both positively or negatively. We who teach will be judged more strictly. Me too, says James. And so to verse 2. "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Let's be honest, says James, about this. None of us is perfect. Even committed teachers of God's word get it wrong much of the time. We fall just like other Christians, and we all need to be very aware of that. More generally now, all believers offend at times with their tongues. Our tongue, I would suggest to you, is a constant reminder of the battle with the old sinful nature. And our own helplessness to cure ourselves, and the constant need to go to Jesus for cleansing and sanctifying and for his Holy Spirit to change us. Sins of the tongue surely ride high on the list of sins that Christians fall into. You know how it is. An idiot driver pulls out in front of you, and if you're not careful, before you realise it, an expletive comes out of your mouth. You might be shocked by your own capacity to sin so easily. Thomas Brook, the commentator, said, "Of all the members of the body, there is none so serviceable to Satan as the tongue." Well, let's move on then now to the six illustrations that James gives here concerning the tongue. I think actually these break rather easily into three sets of two for us. And here's the first set in verses 3 and 4, the power of the tongue to control. A bit for a horse and a rudder for a ship or a boat. Both these things, both the bit for a horse and the rudder for a ship, are relatively small, but they set, don't they, the whole direction of movement. I suppose in a modern sense a car steering wheel would be an equivalent, relatively small, but it steers the whole vehicle. When people are learning to drive, there can be a tendency, can't there, to oversteer. You have to learn to control the wheel slowly and gradually if the car is not to go out of control. And so here with the power, the influence of the tongue and its influence over the whole body. When the tongue is under control, the mouth is slow to speak. A cautious approach is taken instead of simply blurting out the first thing that comes into your head. How the brain needs to be engaged before opening the mouth, and in that way our whole lives can know blessing and control. I suppose we could take the illustration of the rudder of the ship and the illustration of the ship a little further. There is a sense in which we direct the course of our lives, but many of us have found that when actually we're in control, we tend to make a mess of things. We are not skilled enough on our own to steer a good course. And so, like a large vessel entering a difficult harbour or a difficult channel of water, we need to take a pilot on board, someone to steer the boat through choppy waters or through the right channels. And that's really, for most of us, where Jesus comes and becomes the captain of our ship and of our lives. And we have the pilot, if you like, of the Holy Spirit to guide us to set a good course. And so here is my appeal to you, if you find yourself frequently in trouble with your tongue. You need to ask, who is in control of the vessel? Has Jesus come on board as the pilot of your life? Have you owned him as your saviour? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he changing you in how you use your tongue? Now, a runaway horse or a ship that has lost its steering capacity can reap all kinds of havoc, not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. And so it is with the tongue. A runaway tongue can cause so much damage for us and for others. And so to the second pair of illustrations here. A spark causing a fire and a deadly poison. And I've called this the power of the tongue to consume. We've looked at the power of the tongue to control, now the power of the tongue to consume. Consider forest fires. I'm sure we've all seen the devastating pictures of the forest fires in California and in Australia and in other places. It's so easy, isn't it, for a fire in a forest to be set alight by a stray cigarette, by the sun shining through a discarded piece of glass, or even where people go and deliberately start a fire. And so it is with the tongue. It has that potential to cause untold damage all around it. Words, we say, sometimes spread like wildfire. And that's particularly the case, isn't it, within the confines of a local community, a district, or a village, or even in a congregation like ours when we're meeting together. And so often it's malicious gossip, isn't it? Things that shouldn't be shared, or even lies that are passed on from one to another. And the consequences of sharing that and speaking that can be devastating. It can be devastating in the life of an individual and also for the whole church if it gets out of hand. I like this little acronym that I came across some years ago and is always so helpful in regard to the use of the tongue. And it's simply this word, think. T, ask yourself, is it true? What you're actually passing on from yourself to someone else, do you know for a fact that it is true? Secondly, is it helpful? What benefit is it going to be to people for you to pass it on? Is it going to build up, or is it going to be destructive? Thirdly, is it inspiring? What I'm going to share with you, is it constructive? Is it going to build? Is it going to be something positive in people's lives or in the life of the fellowship? Fourthly, we need to ask ourselves, and is it necessary? Do I need to share this bit of juicy gossip? Do we actually just engage the brain before we pass it on? And fifthly, is it kind? Is it kind? Is it kind to this person to say this about them? Am I doing what is really building up and helping others? Or is my gossip causing untold damage? You know, sometimes people gossip under the guise, well, I'm sharing this so you can pray about it. Is that really your desire and motivation? We so need, don't we, to check out our motives before we speak or we trot out an excuse. Proverbs 17 and verse 27, and I love how the New American Standard Bible here renders this verse. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Are we restrained people? Are we hot-headed people? Are we cool in what we say? Are we calculating and thoughtful before we open our mouths? And then the tongue here is seen as being like a deadly poison. The deceptive thing about poison is that it can work through the whole body before you know that you have it, almost unnoticed. How many shots of poison have been injected into the lives of God's people or into the fellowship of the church? How have we poisoned other people's minds against somebody else that we dislike? The reality is, as it says here in verse 8, no man can tame his tongue. It's not within our natural capacity to tame the tongue, but it can be tamed when we surrender it to God. Well, enough of the negative things for now. I want to pick out the positives in verses 9 to 12. We've seen the power of the tongue to control and to consume. But here we're looking at the power of the tongue to contribute. Here we read how the tongue can be like a fountain of life and a tree bearing fruit. A fountain of life. A fountain gives refreshment. Particularly in hot countries like Israel, the fountain of fresh water gives life. Jesus, of course, famously said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Jesus is the pure living water, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But what James is saying here is that what comes out of our mouths can be like fresh, life-giving water. Proverbs 10 and verse 11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." The Apostle Paul speaks of people who had a refreshing ministry, like Philemon, who he said, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." How have we used our tongue to refresh, to inspire, to build up, to encourage others? And water also has that power, doesn't it, to cleanse. And God's word is a spiritual water that comes in and cleanses and refreshes the soul. And we can use our words to help other people find their purity of life in Christ. A fountain giving life and refreshment then. And then secondly here, a tree bearing fruit. Trees in hot countries provide shade and also fruit. And so as we share what we have found in Jesus, we can be a shelter to other individuals in the storms of their lives. We can share his words and we can feed and build up others. We can give them the nutrients, if you like. We think of the goodness in fruit. Well, our tongues can be like giving them nutrients, giving them what is fresh and good. The Bible says you wouldn't expect a fig tree to bear olives, and you wouldn't expect an olive tree to bear figs. If we are rooted in Christ, we should expect what comes out of our lives and out of our mouths to be consistent with the source, with the faith that we profess. Proverbs 10 and verse 21 tells us, "The lips of the righteous feed many." So are we a fountain, a spring of life and hope? And are we a tree that provides shelter and fruit, that bears fruit in our lives and in other people's lives? The power of the tongue then, the power of the tongue to control, the power of the tongue to consume, but also the power of the tongue to contribute, to build up and to be positive. In conclusion, what a contradiction we are. Out of the same mouth can come curses and also praise to God. That should not be. Well, let's pray. Father, we find this whole area so challenging. You are a pure and a holy God, and we recognize that so often we're not pure in thought, in word, in deed, and particularly in the use of our tongue. There are lots of areas where we feel challenged and guilty. Lord, we thank you that there is complete cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray that more and more we would use our tongues for what is constructive, for what builds up, rather than what tears down. So help us, Lord, as we face the challenges of your word. Come by your Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus in every way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Please speak with me about the service on the 27th. And thank you to those who have already said that they would like to contribute. As usual, there will be coffee and chat happening on Zoom at 11:45 today, and all are welcome to join that catch-up. We have been challenged today about that tiny part of our body that has the potential to do so much good or cause so much damage. In our humanness, we mess up, which is why God sending Jesus to earth was needed. And so we close our service today with another carol, celebrating God's birth and inviting us to prepare our hearts for him. We thank God that he rules the world with truth and grace and for the wonders of his love. Joy to the world. God bless you all this coming week.
Sounding joy.